Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 108. It is a beautiful Thursday evening. You got Kevin over here. I got Giannis with me. How you doing, bro?
What up? I don't think we've ever recorded on a Thursday before.
Listen, we're trying to hit all the days of the week, you know?
Literally.
Diversify. But the advantage we get of recording on a Thursday, and this specific Thursday, is that we get to talk about Chelsea versus Man United, because as you can probably tell, I am obviously thrilled to talk about that.
I mean, the timing could not have been more perfect. I know how high... I thought you were going to come here with good energy because you were going to get a win. And
we should have had a win.
5 minutes collapse.
It wasn't... I wouldn't even call it collapse. It's not like we started playing so much worse and kept making, like, huge mistakes. It honestly just felt like pure luck going against us. Like, the Dalot slip for the penalty shot at the 98th minute. First of all, 8 minutes at a time on that game. And, yes, it was a penalty. Listen, I'm not trying to say it wasn't a penalty. But that's, like, unlucky penalty. It's not like he tried to tackle and miss. Like, he literally just slipped and clipped the guy's heel. And it's a penalty.
He can't avoid that. The Palmer goal, the second Palmer goal, though,
so good too. He played so well. That cross for the Bruno goal. Oof.
I remember the last time I saw Bruno score with the head.
I mean, that's not really his vibe.
That is not his thing. I do agree. The last goal, though, that's, I don't know who you to blame on that, because everybody pointed at Palmer.
Yeah.
Nobody moved toward him.
I don't know how nobody was even in that area to begin with to even, like, be able to make a run to cover him. But then it was like, okay, first of all, he gets the ball. Second of all, McTominay, like, tries to make the block, isn't quick enough, doesn't get fully in front of it, and it's just, like, a deflection goal. It's not even like he... Like, Palmer, honestly, Palmer has been a revelation this season. I don't want to take anything away from him. The kid is insane. But... And he was a United fan growing up, which hurts even more. But it's not like it was like a beautiful shot on target, like beats the goalkeeper. It was literally just like in the middle of players, and he got the deflection into the net. It's just devastating because we were down 2-0 early on. And then the goals we scored to come back were honestly amazing goals. And then the one to take the lead, also amazing goal. Like, I felt agree. Like we truly deserved the 3 points.
I would agree outside of the first goal where Caicedo kind of gave the ball to Garnacho on that.
Fair.
I don't think you deserve the loss. I will say that. The loss is a bit harsh.
I mean, it is what it is. And honestly, that's just a dagger because that really stops us from, like, a already desperate top four race, like top four challenge. Top five, like, now we're 9 points behind Spurs, who are in fifth. It's just not looking good. Like, we really needed those points. Honestly, it's devastating.
And you're playing Liverpool next.
Yes. The only silver lining, though, is, listen, when we play Liverpool, we're going to give it our all, because we know that their title hopes are on the line. And Man United will want to do everything in their power to stop Liverpool. The other thing is, for our personal top five race, is Spurs played the three teams in the title race in the remaining 8 games. So it's not like they have, like, the easiest road. Like, they could easily lose all three of those games. They could easily steal one of two of them or you know, get a couple draws. But they're facing the toughest competition. So maybe it's not impossible we can catch up. But, like, we cannot drop points moving forward, and we play Liverpool next, so that's just, like, honestly a bad start. It's gonna knock us when we're down, so hoping for the best, but I feel like we can turn up against Liverpool. I feel like we either get battered or we play, like, a really good game, so we'll have to see what happens.
It can really go either way. It could go in sort of like the FA Cup game, or it could be a trashing from Liverpool.
Now, your turn to do the talking, because I want you to talk about the Luton game from yesterday for Arsenal, and then also the Man City matchup, because that was, I feel like, did not go according to everybody's plan. But I did not, I expected this. I texted you about it. I said we could see a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, you could see it. Now the draw doesn't surprise me too much. I'll start with the Luton game. I think it had to be a must win. It wasn't the strongest Arsenal 11, but it had to be a must win regardless. We did the job, got the three points. At this point, that is all. I don't care really about the method, how we do it. We got the 3 points, and it was in a convincing fashion, in my opinion.
No Saka.
The Odegaard stepped up. I mean, not that he hasn't stepped up the whole season, but the Odegaard was there. I think, I don't know if I can't remember if Martinelli played, to be honest with you. I think Trossard started, but overall, we got the 3 points. That's what matters. And another clean sheet. Still the best defense in the league. Then the City game, honestly, sort of disappointing because of how it was almost too tactical to an extent. Like, the fact that both teams were playing with four center backs. I'm starting to hate this four center back system in the back. Like, kind of kills the fullback positions a little bit because nobody really wants to attack out wide.
Yeah, because nobody wants to give themselves up defensively.
Yeah.
So they're all kind of like just waiting for the other team to make a mistake, but everybody's playing so conservative that there's not really many mistakes to give.
It was disappointing, especially because I think from an Arsenal perspective, we were a little too cautious. We weren't taking as much risk as we've done in past games, and it was very telling. I know that every chance that we can kind of hurt City, you kind of have to take it. But if you don't even try to attempt the pass because you're afraid of getting countered, or that City might react and counter against you as well, it wasn't the most entertaining game, I'd say, for the neutrals. And I guess from an Arsenal perspective, it was also sort of disappointing. But at the same time, the main thing is that we didn't lose. We got a point that we needed. Obviously, 3 points was what... 3 points was the goal, but leaving City with a point is obviously pretty good as well, especially considering the circumstances.
Who's happier about that 1 point, City or Arsenal?
It's a good question. I think Arsenal, most likely. Because I think most people expected City to win this game.
Yeah. I mean, listen, City, I feel like, are the favorites to win the title, right? Because, you know, they've done it multiple times in a row. But I don't know. I told you, I like Arsenal's chances. But now, honestly, now it's just a toss-up, pure toss-up. Because Liverpool have it in their hands. And yeah. They play Man United next. That's a big matchup. But the top three, like, separated by only 3 points. None of them play each other anymore.
None of them play each other.
They all play Spurs.
Yeah.
Who would you pick right now? If you have to pick the title winner.
It's hard not to pick Liverpool just because of how consistent they've been this season without having necessarily their best 11 on the field every time. Like, Salah hasn't been the most effective player. It seems like every game somebody else steps up. Maybe it's Salah sometimes, but Nunez has stepped up, Gakpo stepped up, Luis Diaz does. The midfield has been amazing to me, in my opinion. Like McAllister today, great goal. Again,
yep. He's been really good.
He's been really good. And those Szoboszlai as well have been pretty solid. It's hard for me not to see Liverpool go all the way, especially considering there's only 8 games left. Like, it would be very harsh. And you got to consider as well, like, the club factor. Like, him leaving last season is going to be extra motivation for them as well. So right now, I would probably have to bet Liverpool. Arsenal are right behind them. I think all we can really do is control what we can control and win every game at this point. But outside of the Spurs game, which I think is one of our last game of the season, everybody else should be 3 points. I don't see where else we drop points. I mean, I think we play Aston Villa as well, which is tricky. But overall, I do expect us to win every game, and then see what happens with Liverpool and City. I mean, I'll probably say the same thing for City as well. I think they're expected to win every game. Like you mentioned, Like, the Spurs game for all three of them is key. Because if Spurs manage to get 3 points or a point out of any of those three, the other two have to react. And it just that's a momentum switch. That changes the league. So Spurs is the key factor here, I think.
I mean, and they can be hit or miss as well. I feel like they haven't really been at their best lately, these last few games. They've had decent results. They've also had bad results. But I feel like all in all, they haven't really been convincing. Like, losing 3-0 to Fulham is just wild. But then a draw with West Ham. West Ham's like not a bad side. They're a good side. They're top seven right now. Then the Luton game was close, however. And then they destroyed Villa 4-0, who are right ahead of them. So yeah. You kind of just like, you don't even know what to expect, right? Like, they could play a worse team and get better. They could play a better team and destroy them. Or they can play to the level of their opponent and keep it close somehow.
Yeah, you don't really know. You don't really know which Spurs is going to show up. I wonder if the home advantage will be a factor. Can't remember where they play each of those three games when it comes to City, Liverpool, and Arsenal. But I think wherever they are, if they're at home, it's a big factor. I think City, they play City at home. I don't think City has beaten the Spurs at home.
They play Arsenal at home. They play City at home, and they play Liverpool away.
Okay, yeah. So the Liverpool away one is interesting because Liverpool needs, it'll be a very important game for Liverpool, obviously. But the two at home, City at home is tough, but I don't think City has beaten them at home yet. And then Arsenal, anything can happen. It's a derby.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Spurs has you could almost argue that Spurs has the key to whoever wins the league has to go through Spurs.
Yeah.
Spurs.
I mean, that's going to be like the toughest competition of whoever for all the title challengers, right?
Yeah. You can almost call them the title deciders in a sense.
Who,
from a top four perspective, if Spurs somehow manage to lose three games, all three of those games, which I don't think they will, it helps United and Villa.
Yes. I mean, United, we're going to need a lot, but Villa, definitely. Do you think Spurs finish in the top four?
It's tough to say. Those three games are kind of tricky. I think they managed to pull it off just because I think Villa might fall at some point as well. I think Spurs...
Villa, I feel like, are getting worse. Ollie Watkins is potentially injured. That's a huge deal, obviously.
Yeah, but they still got the point at... No, I was going to say they almost got the point at City or they got battered. They were able to create chances against City. So I think... And then their striker, John Duran, former MLS striker, by the way, did score. So I think they can... They have to go without Watkins. They have no choice at this point. But it might... Like you said, it might actually be a problem going forward.
That's going to be tough. I want to talk about... did you see Roy Keane's comment on Haaland?
Yeah, that was a bit, yeah. So you sent it to me, but yeah.
He said, this man has a technical ability of a League 2 player.
I think it's
harsh. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's harsh for Keane to say that. A League 2 player doesn't score 30-plus goals in his first season in a different league.
But you can be a great goal scorer and not be technically sound or impressive.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think he's the most technically sound striker. Don't get me wrong. But to say League 2, I think it's a bit harsh. Even Championship would be harsh, in my opinion. We know that Haaland is his best suited for everything that happens in the box. Outside of the box, it's hard for him to create any chances for himself. We've seen this countless times. That's why he needs to be fed by the De Bruyne's, the Foden. When Gundogan was there, he was feeding him as well. Mm-hmm. Everything has to come. Every service has to be coming towards for him. I think that I told you that as well. Like, I think the De Bruyne injury kind of hurt him a lot because he was one of his main providers in terms of assists and chances creation. So having no De Bruyne definitely hurt his season, and you could tell. Now that De Bruyne is back. Even now, the chemistry seems a bit... I don't think the chemistry is 100% back, but it seems a bit off. He's still missing chances. I mean, he's going to miss chances regardless. It's just that now it's a bit more... Especially considering how close the season is, you can't really they can't really afford that.
I mean, they didn't even play him today. Well. They didn't play him today, and Foden scored a hat trick.
Yeah. Didn't play him and got a hat trick. Alvarez, I think he might. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if you start Alvarez against Madrid. No, not to move away from what we're gonna talk about, but.
Wow! Wait.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did that. Because Haaland didn't look good against Arsenal too. Like Gabriel,
there's no way he doesn't start Haaland.
I'm not gonna say he won't start him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't start him. He's gonna play at some point, but he might not just start. That's it.
The only reason you don't start him, I think he didn't start him today, so he can rest him for the Madrid game.
Well, that would make sense. Don't they have a game in the weekend as well?
Yeah, probably. Let's see. Is it on Sunday? On Saturday they play Palace. So.
See, okay, yeah.
So on Saturday, Tuesday turnaround. That stuff. And you guys play Bayern on Tuesday, so.
Oh yeah, that's that's a tricky one too. It's a tricky one as well.
Yeah, you guys have a Saturday Tuesday turnaround as well. You guys play Brighton on Saturday and then Bayern Munich on Tuesday.
This is fortunately not the best Brighton we've seen in the last few weeks, so I think this might be this should be a win.
Yeah.
But then the Bayern game, that's one of the games of the season, really. I wonder if we don't manage to get the league, but if we manage to make the semis, if that's considered a good season. I think it would.
What would you have, if somebody would have told you guys you guys will make the semifinal of the Champions League before the season started, I think everybody's happy.
Yeah, but then if you had to choose between the semifinals of the Champions League or the trophy, obviously you choose the trophy.
Yeah, you choose the league for sure.
It's kind of silly because you can't really guarantee the league, but if you could only get Champions League semis, I think it's a good season. You're right. I do agree with that. At that point, anything is possible. But yeah, Rookins need to chill in the comments.
What also, about, well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, a former Man U player says that, like, it's typical.
I mean, listen, I don't think he's completely wrong. Like, we've seen
Haaland say he's 100% wrong.
We've seen Haaland look bad.
Had he said championship, I would have been like, all right, sure, maybe.
So it was the League 2 that really got you.
Yeah, the League 2 was
like, I was more thinking about, like, the intent behind it, that he's just not impressive, technically.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's his main point, the fact that he's not the most technical striker. But to go and say League 2 was a bit like, okay, bruh. Like, you're looking for clicks. Which is not something that we're working usually does.
Speaking about clicks, though, listen, the news that Xabi Alonso is staying at Leverkusen one more year? At least one more year? I mean, that was a huge development, right? Because I feel like the last couple of pods, we've dedicated a lot of time to talking about Xabi and where his potential opportunities can go and, like, and honestly just like congratulating him and giving him his flowers for what he's done with Leverkusen, like still undefeated. And they've come back down from like down goals near end of games to end up taking some wins. They've been nothing but extremely impressive.
Did you expect that?
The him to stay one more year?
Yeah.
No, I thought for sure he was gone to either Bayern or Liverpool. But listen, the fact that he's staying, and we talked about this, I texted you, but I think the fact that he's staying one more year is, I think he wants the Madrid job. Like, it's the only thing that makes sense. Because Liverpool and Bayern are wide open right now. They're like, listen, we want you. Come coach us. And if he doesn't take it this year, the job's not going to be available next year. So that means one more thing. Either he's happy to stay at Leverkusen for much longer, or he didn't want those jobs because he prefers a different one. And if he prefers a different one, it's going to be Real Madrid.
The logic makes sense. I think for him specifically, the development that he has done with Leverkusen is pretty... It's worth staying for another season. Just because they're going to play Champions League, it's guaranteed. odds are they're going to win the league at this point. It's pretty much guaranteed as well. So he gets to compete in the Champions League with a team that he's pretty much developed himself. Not that he's developed himself, but he definitely improved the development of. And I think it makes sense for him to go that route. Obviously, Bayern is attractive. Liverpool is obviously attractive. But with Liverpool, you kind of have to come think about, like, okay, you're going after Klopp, meaning the pressure is going to be on you the minute you essentially step in the role, especially being a former Liverpool player as well. So you got to consider that aspect. I don't think, maybe he thought he wasn't ready for that. I think Bayern, I mean, we didn't want him to go to Bayern just because it's kind of like a typical Bayern thing of picking the best players or coaches of the everyone around them. But I get why he didn't do it. If you ask me, I don't really see why Bayern would be even one of his options, considering that he's already dominated Germany. Then Madrid was tricky because obviously Ancelotti still has one more year, but then the team is already set up for him. Like, the team is already, you don't really have to, like, bring in much more players.
Is the team set up, but they're going to get Mbappe.
Yeah. And Hendrick is coming as well. Alfonso Davies is most likely going to be there as well. That's a lot of players, first of all.
I'm not sure they get Davies. It's because if they get Mbappe, like, I don't know how much else they can do.
Well, I think if they get Davies, it's at left back, which I don't know if he wants.
Obviously, yes. I'm just talking about financially.
Yeah, I mean, it's Madrid. They'll find a way. I don't think I've ever heard of Madrid with like in like financial trouble. Like,
no, because they make so much money.
Yeah.
So if you make so much money, you can spend it. But
pretty much, I don't see how they manage, but I think it's not impossible for them to do it.
I mean, what's that front three gonna look like? That front three and that middle three. Get those signings confirmed, I'm betting on them to win the treble next year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no question. I mean, no, who's going to bet against them?
Like,
it's going to be ridiculous.
I'm just thinking about, like, watching Vinicius and Mbappe together. Like, I can't compute.
Don't sleep on Rodrigo as well.
No, Rodrigo for sure, but, like, Vinicius is like, in the conversation for the Ballon d'Or this year. As well as Jude Bellingham, so.
And Mbappe.
Yeah, and Mbappe. So you might get like the three Ballon d'Or finalists all on the same team next year.
I think that takes the Galacticos to a different level. But going back to Alonso, though,
because these guys are so much younger than the Galacticos were in their era.
Yeah, it's like this is like the Gen Z Galacticos.
Yeah, and these guys can all be there for like the next like 5 to 8 years if they want to.
One thing for sure, though, one of them is going to leave at some point, I think.
Why? So, like Neymar and Messi kind of thing?
Sort of, but not necessarily Neymar or Messi, but the fact that it might be too much. I was listening to a podcast today, and they were kind of eyeing Rodrigo as the guy that who may leave eventually.
I mean, if he had to choose one person to go, it's definitely him.
Which is unfortunate because... Honestly, like, the thing is, they all want to play on the left side. Because they can literally... Mbappe, Vinicius, and Rodrigo could all play on the left side. Even Hendrick, to an extent. But I do think that Rodrigo is probably... If you had to pick... If somebody had to leave or would want to leave, I think the most likely player will be Rodrigo. But I don't think it will happen next season. Just because Hendrick is not ready. He's only 17. He's not going to come in and change the entire league or whatnot. So he's not a game changer yet. I think it takes a couple years for him. I think Mbappe is fine up top as a 9, and that's probably where they're going to play him. So Rodrigo has the right side still. Even though he might prefer the left, he has the right. And he can play number 10 if Bellingham happens to be injured or whatnot. So he's still very much valuable for Madrid. But then after that, maybe a year or two from now, it might be a conversation. And he's still pretty young, too. So I'd be surprised if he did leave next year. But in 2 years, maybe it's a different story.
Maybe one more year, yeah.
Yeah, but going back on Alonso, I think staying for one more year is probably the best decision at this point. kind of like you said, I know maybe the is the Madrid job the goal? We don't know. Because whoever takes the Liverpool job, I think they're saying that it might be the Sporting Lisbon coach, Ruben Amorim, who's pretty good as well. What if that doesn't work and he gets sacked after 1 year? Then Alonso could possibly come in again and kind of act like the savior that was brought in, that should have been brought in the first place, but didn't. That's also a possibility that we don't know who's going to take over the Liverpool or the Bayern job, and we don't know if they're going to succeed. So obviously, we hope that they do, but we don't know what's going to happen, obviously, a year from now. So
who do you think takes the
Leverkusen Liverpool job? I think to stay at Leverkusen makes a lot more sense.
And I like the fact that he's going to stay at the place that he turned around himself. Like, literally rags to riches almost, you know? Like, he developed so many of these young guys that are now worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And he's going to, you know, follow it through. Like, what if they make an impact in the Champions League next year? Like, that, what a story that would be.
Oh, by the way, those guys are staying. They're not leaving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Majority of them will probably stay. Like, the Frimpong.
He'll leave when he leaves.
Oh, yeah. He won't leave if he doesn't leave. Frimpong. Verts, obviously. The left back. Grimaldo.
Yep.
Boniface. Yeah. They're not leaving. I don't think they're leaving. Especially now that they know that he's staying, this team probably will stay around most likely the same as it is this year. Which is perfect because at least now they have a team to go forward in the Champions League with. They could actually compete. Not that they're gonna win it, but like,
I mean, they're probably gonna make a signing.
For a final?
Do you think they need a goalkeeper? I think maybe they get a goalkeeper.
They're pretty good defensively.
Radek is like 34, so I feel like he's pretty old.
But they got the younger guy that they got from United. I think Kobash is his name.
Kobash?
He mostly plays cup games, Kovar? But he's been relatively decent.
Kovar?
Yeah, something like that. Kovar, Kovac, yeah.
Maybe.
He came from United, apparently, so... It seems like whenever I saw him play, obviously I haven't seen like a full game of him specifically, but he just held his own, so... He also won't be the most tested, especially because Leverkusen has the ball most of the time, so...
I mean, I think they're going to make a couple signings for sure. They won't be blocked
for sure, yeah. But... I think a lot of players are going to be wanting to play at Leverkusen for Alonso, so...
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be surprised if he improved the team, especially now that they have Champions League.
The thing is, it'll be tough to attract, I feel like, established talent, because I feel like people know Alonso's not going to stay there, so why would they go and devote like the next like 4 or 5 years of their career to a team that the coach is going to leave after 1 year, you know?
Well, you don't know if they're playing... he might leave, but the team is still pretty... good. Like, any coach could come after Alonso. A decent coach could come out after Alonso and kind of continue the legacy in a way. Mm-hmm. But I guess the continuity of Leverkusen can still go on even if Alonso leaves. Because you might lose Virt, you might lose Frimpong, but you still have a lot of good players in that team regardless.
Let's talk about PSG for a little bit, because I feel like Mbappe is obviously the main talking point for their team, right? Because I feel like they live and die by Mbappe in terms of like their ceiling. But I think it's pretty clear that they're trying to kind of establish a foundation for when Mbappe leaves.
Yeah, I agree. That's why he keeps taking... I mean, the last game the full PSG game that I saw was against Marseille. Obviously, PSG won, but him being taken off after 63 minutes and PSG had a red card was a bit surprising. Maybe it was kind of a test to see if they could handle themselves without having Mbappe. The good thing that they did, because had they like drew or lost, then it would have been on Enrique's head for sure. But they ended up winning. Maybe I guess it's to send a message to Mbappe that like you're not... I mean, you're obviously our best player, but we can kind of do without you, that type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody's pretty much sold on the idea that he will leave. It's pretty much confirmed.
I mean, that's pretty clear.
Yeah. But I still think that you might as well use the best of him while you have him. Like, he's not gonna... He doesn't get... He's really fit right now. He's not injured. Specifically, this side was a bit odd. But I don't think he would do that in a different in many more games. Like he won't do that in the Champions League for sure.
No, no, no. I mean, what do you think they even have a chance at the Champions League? What do you think?
I mean, wait, they got Barca, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's a classic matchup. Obviously, for a different vibe now. Classic matchup. We've seen the biggest comebacks in Champions League history in this matchup.
I like the PSG side, but it's not impossible. It could go either way. There's a lot of matchups that really it could go either way. But yeah, especially Enrique, too, former Barca coach coming back to Barcelona. Yep. That's gonna be interesting.
Yep. What are your thoughts on Dembele this year? Because I feel like
I was just gonna mention him actually.
Yeah.
Another former Barca player. Yep. It's funny because he's done. Like statistically speaking, he's not there. Like the goals or assists aren't there. When you look at a PSG game, he kind of runs the show in a way. Like, he runs the show way more than Mbappe does, especially when it comes to the final third. I feel like he's more... I don't know why, for some reason, he keeps playing sort of a central/winger type role. Sometimes he'll play as a 10, almost, and he looks really good. But then he'll go past 2-3 players and not finish. It's like everything that he does works except the final product. That's always been really his issue. Is like he's never been like a prolific goal scorer. Yeah. But at least he had the production in terms of assists. Even now, that's not there still. But he's definitely playing better than what people may seem to think of him at this point.
Because he's not really contributing to the goal scoring, but I feel like he's really opening up the field with the way he plays with the ball. So, I mean, it's working for them. I mean, they're having a lot of success in their own league, obviously, like they always do. Yeah. But we're going to have to see when it comes. Yeah, we're going to have to see when it comes down to like the tough matchups. In the Champions League, it's not going to be easy.
I think he'll be very motivated for this game.
Yeah, to show them that they made a mistake. I mean, listen, the other thing with him is he can never stay healthy.
Well, yeah, but this funny enough, though, this season, not that much injuries. Ever since he left Barca, like, injuries haven't been that big of a concern at this point.
Knock on wood, you didn't just drink some.
I don't know. Whenever you leave Barcelona, it's like injuries just leave you away, take you away as well. Like, you don't really get injured like that. Ironically, like, guys, like, I don't know if there's any other former Barca players that are playing elsewhere that aren't getting injured as much. That could be interesting to look at. I think Griezmann didn't get injured too much as well since he left Barcelona.
I was gonna say Neymar, but that's not true.
Yeah, he's that's just him. That's just him. I'm trying to see if there's any other players from any former Barca players that are playing relatively decent now, but aren't injured as much as they used to be. I guess I'll have to work on that and see who it is, but. Kessié didn't get it. I guess Kessié plays in Saudi Arabia, so it doesn't really count. That's one thing to think about. Because every Barca player is pretty much injured, at least for a long part of the season. Pedri's been gone for how long? Gavi's done for the season. We got to pray that Yamal doesn't get injured, too.
Like, yeah, it feels like they're teetering. They're playing with fire there.
Yeah. Guys playing way too many games.
All right, let's end with some Three Lions talk.
Actually,
you know me.
Yeah.
What?
I was going to say Champions League, but yeah, let's do the Three Lions real quick. Because it did happen.
So the top two favorites for the Euro are England and France. If you had to pick one right now.
I think France.
I think France got that winning experience. They know what to do, whereas England, they just can't really find a way. But I think, honestly, like, is it crazy that England may be more talented?
It's not too crazy. I'm not exactly sure. The thing is, I think they're equally talented, but on the field, in terms of the 11, it's pretty balanced. I'd say it's pretty balanced. I wouldn't say that, I wouldn't say that France has a large edge on England. Not as they used to be, at least.
I'm looking at goalkeepers. Let's say this, if we just compare both of them. I think England has the edge for goalkeepers. I don't know who the starter is going to be for France. It's got to be Mike Maignan, right?
Mike Maignan, sure. No, France has the edge there, no question.
You think he's better than a Pickford or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, no, 100%.
Okay. Listen, I didn't know you were going to be that that adamant about it.
Mike Maignan is a top 10 keeper, top 5 if not some maybe this season.
I don't know about top 5. Top 10 for sure. Yeah, top 10 for sure.
We don't have to go any top 10 now anymore because I've been roasted for those every time. But top 10.
Sure. What about defenders though?
Well, Upamecano, Saliba or Upamecano, Konate?
Pick your poison. I like Saliba, Upamecano. Although Upamecano has not been like as impressive as I thought he would be during his Bayern tenure.
True, it's not his best season, I agree. But Konate's been pretty solid.
Yeah, but he's also been injured a lot.
Yes, that's an issue with him.
In terms of fullbacks, I feel like England's got to have the edge.
Yes, like, Hernandez
is good. Both Hernandezes are good. Pavard is good. But I feel like just like the explosive nature of a Trent, of a Kyle Walker, even though they're both injured right now, a Trippier, a Luke Shaw healthy. I just feel like those guys are really well rounded.
I will
center backs are gonna be close though.
Yeah, I think I will give the edge to England at the right back, but not the left back. Because I think Hernandez is the best on both teams.
I wouldn't argue with that.
I think
midfield, I feel like it's England by far.
I think it's England, but it's not by far.
I mean, it's Tchouaméni and Camavinga. And Camavinga isn't even playing midfield for Madrid.
What do people keep saying that? You're not the sexy person that tells me that. He only played left back. Like, I don't think he's played left back this season.
He's still playing left back.
He's not playing left back most games.
Let's see.
He's not a Madrid starter, but he could start anywhere else. You put him in Chelsea, he starts. You put him with United, he starts.
Yeah, definitely, but that's not saying much.
But that's saying that the quality is there. It's just that because Madrid's midfield is obviously even more, like there's quality there. You can't even. Yeah. There's no argument that he's. The thing is, I don't even think he'll start for France because he's not technically the starter.
It's gonna be Tchouaméni, Rabiot, and what, Guendouzi?
Griezmann.
In the midfield?
Yeah. As your highest 8.
Okay, you play him as like a 10?
Yeah.
Okay, and then up front you play what? Mbappe, Dembele, Colomani? Giroud?
Colomani off the bench.
Or Giroud off the bench, honestly.
Yeah, one of those two. Or you could play Thuram as a 9, Giroud off the bench.
But then you look at England, and I feel like, I don't know, I feel like their center back, the center backs, like, you get John Stones, and it would be, what, Harry Maguire, most likely?
Most likely.
I like Stones a lot. Maguire, obviously, hit or miss.
Yeah, I like Stones a lot. Maguire, like you said, Maguire is really hit or miss. I think Dunk is probably won't make underrated. The trip, honestly. He has two bad games.
Yeah.
Guehi is interesting because I think Guehi could be, if he can stay healthy, he could be starting ahead of Maguire, but it's probably not going to happen. Tomori, I don't know what nobody talks about Tomori.
Fair.
Like, he should be in the team, in my opinion.
Yeah. You take Tomori over Joe Gomez or Konsa, right?
Yes. Especially Joe Gomez. Konsa, again, I think Konsa has been pretty solid in those two games, but he might be like a backup right back / backup center back as well. So he could be useful, for sure.
But, I mean, the midfield of Rice, Mainoo, Bellingham. And up front, you can play Foden, you can play Rashford, you can play Kane. I mean, Kane's gonna be at the top. Jared Bowen. Like, and I feel like they just got guys. You can make like two equally as good front threes from the bench and the starters.
I think I'll give the edge to England in the midfield. Even though I think it's not, I don't think it's too far off, because I don't think there's too many number six that are better than Tchouaméni. I think Rice might be one.
Mm-hmm.
Bellingham obviously is Bellingham. You can't. There's no argument.
He's the best.
He's the best, and I would say the same thing about Foden as well. So England definitely has a better midfield.
Foden on the now. I mean, Foden's gonna be playing. If we play a 4-3-3, it's gonna be Foden on the left, or a 4-2-3-1. It'll be Rice in the midfield for sure, with either Kobbie Mainoo or like, they'll play like a James Maddison, even though I feel like Mainoo is the perfect partner for Declan Rice.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I don't think Mainoo should start.
Wow, what?
I don't think that's a controversial thing. I don't think he should start. I think it'll depend on the teams that you play. But for the most part, I don't think he should be the starter. I think he's on the plane for sure, but he's not a starter.
Who do you start ahead of him?
I think if you're going to go 4-3-3, you put Foden and Bellingham as your 2-8 with Bryce behind them. I think Foden has shown many times that he's much
more... They've been playing a 4-2-3-1, though, so you're playing with two...
If it's you're a 4-2-3-1, then you play...
You're playing with two holders holding mid... Well, no, because they're playing Bellingham as a 10. They got one striker up top. It'll be Harry Kane. Bellingham behind him as a 10. And then on the left and right, you're probably getting Foden on the left. And then on the right, you got probably...
Saka.
It can be Saka. It can be Rashford. It can be Palmer.
It's tricky because I think first of all, we don't even know. You think
Foden can even play on the right. Foden can play on the right.
Rashford makes the plane?
I think Rashford makes the plane. I don't think he's a starter, though.
I think Rashford makes the plane. I think Bowen makes the plane, too. But that would be I think Bowen would be the backup to Saka. And I think it depends on whether Foden plays on the left or not. I honestly prefer Foden in the midfield, just because I think he's much more effective centrally than he is on the left.
I think it just depends on the formation, though. Like,
yeah, I think that's why I'm going with a 4-3-3, because I think that's where Foden fits the best. Not that he can play pretty much any formation, but I need Foden centrally.
So then where do you play Bellingham then?
You play him as a pivot, as a 2-8. So you put Foden as an 8, you put Bellingham as an 8, you put Rice as a 6.
Rice behind them, and then on the front three you play...
My front three would be Kane.
Kane, Saka.
Saka, and then on the Palmer? Left... No, I think on the left you put Rashford. I'll put Rashford. Yeah.
That means Rashford's starting.
After me, yeah, Rashford is starting.
I don't think Rashford starts, so I don't think they go with that.
Maybe Anthony Gordon, but I don't think Gordon will be the starter, too.
No. So I think Gordon's a great guy to come off your bench. I think Palmer's a great guy to have come off your bench or start. Palmer's been, honestly, really good this season. And for strikers, I mean, you have the choice between Kane and then having, like, Ivan Toney or Nolly Watkins come off the bench, either to replace him or to go double up at the top. I think those are going to be extremely good options.
My guess is he's probably going to go with Toney. If Watkins isn't healthy, he'll go with Toney. But I think Toney, over those two games, over the last three games, I think Toney shown better than Watkins did.
Yeah, I mean, Watkins has been injured, first of all.
True.
But I like Toney. I mean, he's going to get a move too, so...
That's a question. That's another question. Where is he going to go? But I do think Toney probably over Watkins. So I guess you could say that.
I think England is a better squad overall. The defense is close, but I feel like midfield and forwards, I feel like England's got more depth this time around, which is crazy because France is obviously a stack.
I have to give you. I'll give you the midfield for sure. But even with the depth, right? It's a matter of what's been done. You got to go with the track records.
No, France definitely. I'm talking about on paper right now. I feel like on paper, England has arguably the best squad, a full squad they will be taking to the Euros. I feel like they have the best squad. Whether they convert on that, listen, I do not trust Gareth Southgate. I think he's a shit manager, and I don't think he gets it done. And if it's not England and if it's not France, I don't know. I honestly don't know who it would be.
Because
England did not look convincing against Brazil. They did not look convincing against Belgium. They had terrible performances.
I mean, it's a tournament. No, so you gotta think about Italy.
Yep, Italy. I mean, in the qualifiers they suck, but then come tournament time, they always find a way.
If they always find a way, and obviously the pressure's on Germany
to get any kind of positive result.
Yeah, if Germany doesn't make the semi, I think it's a failure for them. That's what they'll consider. Most likely. I'm already on the record saying that I don't think they'll make the group past the group stage, and I'm gonna
Germany? Stay
with that take. Yeah, I said that last thing a couple weeks ago when we recorded. A couple months ago, actually. But I think I'm going to stick to that take for now.
Do you think the Netherlands have a chance? Dark horse make a run?
Netherlands can be tricky. They always have a chance, but they never somehow deliver it towards the end.
I mean, we're far away from the golden generation.
Not even my Ronaldo, but like, Leao is in form.
Yeah, Leao is in form.
You don't know what you're going to get out of Joao Felix at this point, but you're going to get something.
What do you think about Spain's chances?
I mean, Spain's always there. Spain's always there as well.
I don't like their explosiveness. It kind of feels boring.
Yeah, Spain. I mean, it's typical Spain. They're playing the Spanish way. Except that
I know, but they don't even have the players to play the Spanish way to its full potential.
They're a bit more flary this year with Yamal and Williams on the wing. But that's the thing with Yamal. You gotta be careful. You gotta be very careful not to.
I mean, what? How old is he? Like what? 18.
I don't think he's 18. I think he's 17.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Scary to think about.
And we haven't even talked about Belgium, but I feel like we don't.
Bro, he's 16. Seriously.
That's fucking nuts.
That's ridiculous.
Thoughts on Belgium?
Brazil too. Belgium, I don't know. Belgium could be. Belgium is tricky because this is like the last chance for them to actually get a trophy.
They're not getting a trophy this year.
I don't think they're going to do it. Lukaku's...
No Courtois.
No Courtois.
Do you think a front three of Doku, Lukaku, and Trossard is enough to win?
I mean, it could get you to the quarters. I don't think it gets you the win, though.
That's not even close to England or France.
Yeah, no, for sure. Three. They don't have the depth. That's the thing. England has the best depth in the tournament. I will give you that.
Mm-hmm. What happened the last time France went into a tournament with the best depth?
They lost in the finals.
They won the World Cup, and then they made the next World Cup final.
Yeah.
So
that's why France. I think, like I told you every time, every tournament that France goes in, they usually are the most their favorite to win, and usually you do win it, or they get to the final at the very least. So you can never count France out. But England, this is England's best chance, I think, to get a trophy.
Yep, I think they need to.
And if they don't, you know, Saga's already gone.
I don't know how he's made it this far. I don't know how he's made it this far, but
he's got a semifinal. In 2014.
I know, but the thing is, like, if I give you a 90% chance of making the final and you don't make it, but you make the semifinal, like, that's not impressive to me, you know?
Fair.
To me, it's just he got cooked.
But he's got a semifinal and he's got a... What? He has a final of the Euros, a semifinal of the World Cup. He should have a trophy by now. But it's harder. The thing is with Southgate is that, and you hear that from a lot of English people, the team might be too good for him. Like, he might not be the best guy to get the best out of this team. That's what I'm told.
And they're going to waste their golden era on him, which is wild.
I mean, they're still young. Even if they somehow if they manage not to win this year, they get rid of Southgate, they get somebody that can actually win it, which we don't know. Thing is, everybody says
Jose Mourinho,
Southgate, but nobody says who to bring in.
Jose Mourinho.
See, that's the thing. Mourinho would. That's even worse. Becoming a defensive. I mean, I think tournaments would be good to be. It would be interesting to see Mourinho in a tournament, but I don't know if he's the guy either.
Yeah. There's some good English managers in the Prem that I feel like would love a chance.
The only guy, there's only two names that I can think of, Graham Potter and Eddie Howe.
I like Eddie Howe. I don't like Potter.
Exactly. Everybody loves Eddie Howe.
Yeah, who, how can you not?
Okay, that was good. Well done. I don't even think he, I don't think he meant it, but well done.
I didn't mean
Exactly.
it
I didn't realize, you didn't even realize what you just
actually.
said.
It took me a second. I was like, wait, what does he mean? What do you mean by that? One last comment before we wrap it up. Do you think Sancho has any chance of making the squad?
I was gonna mention that. I was gonna mention that. He looked good
He's
against
had a
Bayern.
couple of better games.
He looked good against Bayern.
The thing is, like, does, let's say, better than expected run of form from now until the summer, does it overtake, like, who's he bumping off? It's got to be like a Bowen, a Rashford, like.
You gotta, for if Sancho has to make it, you gotta
And
hope
do you
that.
even you have to think of, like, are you gonna be able to trust him to put him to start him or put him in the game, knowing, like, all the issues that come with that?
He's not gonna be there. He's not gonna be there. You gotta hope, you gotta, for him to actually be there, you gotta at least, out of your options, three of them have to be injured. Saka has to be like out for the season. Rashford has to be arrested. Like, something has to happen for him to not make it. And I don't think he'll be
That's what
there.
I'm saying.
I think honestly, a guy that should be there but who might not be as well is Loftus-Cheek.
I don't know if he should be there.
He looks good with Milan right now. He looks like the best
There's
Loftus-Cheek that
too many better options.
there's not that many better options really. If you take out the starting three, like he's you take him over Gallagher.
That's close.
Maino and him don't put the same position, but you can probably bump Maino for him. You shouldn't, but you can do that if worst case
Manuel has
scenario.
shown enough flashes to take over games and be a real
Yeah,
difference maker.
I think you need Maino and Loftus-Cheek. But like, if
Then
who
you
else?
gotta. You,
You can bump Henderson.
yes, you can, but they
You can bump
won't.
Henderson for sure.
This guy's gonna ride the bench, but he's gonna be a good locker room guy, quote unquote.
Yeah, he's a ride or die for real.
Do you need a good locker room guy? Do you need a guy that can come in and make an impact? I don't know.
Exactly. So then, okay, so Gallagher, okay, you keep Gallagher, you take out Henderson. You got Gallagher, Maino, Loftus-Cheek on your bench. That's pretty decent. Which is you with your three starters? Who else in the midfield do you need? You're not bringing Mason Mount.
Nope.
See who I don't know who else, maybe Jared Ward-Prowse, maybe Ward-Prowse will be good.
Yeah, I
Set-piece
think Ward-Prowse could
specialist.
have an impact. Exactly, especially the set-piece specialist.
Yeah,
That would make sense.
that's seven midfielders, though. That's a lot of midfielders. But potentially three to two spots.
Do you take him over James Madison?
Oof. Good question. Good question.
You take him
That's
over
a
Anthony
tricky one.
Gordon?
I think Gordon's a winger.
Okay.
Or forward. I don't know if I take him over Madison. I don't know if I would take him over Madison. That's a good shout. Then you bump Gallagher. You take Madison and Loftus-Cheek. Or you bump
The thing is,
Ward-Prowse.
I feel like the thing with Gallagher though is that he has
Work rate.
I mean, the work rate, but I feel like also the fact that he plays in the Prem, which is, toughest league. He's got the competition. He has some chemistry with the guys that are already there, with the Palmers and whatever.
But Loftus-Cheek has been one of Milan's best players. He has the stats to prove it too. It's not just the stats, but the stats prove it as well. I know he's probably not gonna make it because for whatever reason Serie A is not valued as much as the Prem, but I think it's a miss if you don't get Loftus-Cheek in this team. If you
I
don't,
guess we'll see.
the thing is, he didn't even call him up for the friendlies. He didn't even try, so you know he's not gonna call him.
No, you won't. I'm so excited to watch the Euros.
And I can tell you are, but you're gonna be disappointed because it's gonna be the same outcome as always. It's not coming home.
Listen, just let me believe.
It's not gonna come home, bro.
I'll be happy if France wins either as well.
I'm being realistic, I'm being pragmatic and realistic for you. You're being too optimistic, which I like.
I don't think we gotta wrap it up. We went over time, but also I feel like I don't like this Italy squad, but I feel like that's the team that I'm like, they'll find a way somehow. It's gonna happen.
They find a way every tournament. They surprise you, especially the last one, but they surprise you.
This is gonna be one of the weakest Italy teams we've seen in recent memory. No?
It's not the prettiest, I will tell you that.
Like who's their star man up top? It's not Zaniolo. It's Chiesa, and Chiesa's
Yeah, I mean Chiesa's good when he's
got 7 goals this year, you know, that's not a goal scorer.
Yeah. I mean Scamacca? That might be your guy. You already know what you're gonna get from Immobile, but I think if you can start with Scamacca.
It's just not convincing. Yeah, Donnarumma is good though.
Barella.
We're like throwing names into a hat, trying to see what sticks. You know, there's nothing convincing here.
Yeah, but everything's gonna go around Barella for sure. Barella's gonna be your best player.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun.
We'll do Champions League next time then.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's wrap it up. Episode 108 in the books. If you made it this far, you know the drill. We're surprised. We're surprised, but we appreciate it. We appreciate you guys sticking around. And make sure to drop us a follow on the socials, forward_pressing/forwardpresspod. So notified every time the episodes go live. And listen, we're going to have a lot of Champions League to talk about soon because it's going to be back-to-back.
Yeah.
And the league is getting close. It's a very exciting race. I got some money on the line. Listen, I don't want to put that out there, but
you're Man City wins. We all know you're betting that.
I'm a hedger. I'm a hedger. I hedge emotionally. So we'll see how that goes.
Emotional hedger. I've never heard that before.
But thanks for listening. Thanks for your time. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Peace. Okay.